A gruesome story leads off our newscast.
Milwaukee police found body parts in a Northside apartment, and now they wonder if they've uncovered some kind of death factory.
At least 30 people have been found dead at a hotel.
Police found parts of bodies, leading them to believe the man they arrested is a mass murderer.
C-O-Z-O.
Oh my God!
And welcome everybody to another episode of Lobotomized. I'm Kevin.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Amanda.
Yes, and welcome back to another episode. Thanks for coming back. Hope you guys weren't too mad about that little joke from last episode.
Didn't you guys find that really informative? I mean, I learned a lot about mimes.
A brief history of mime.
I mean, I spent so much time on that research. Totally worth it, though. That whole story was amazing.
The three of us were taking those miming classes for weeks.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we were doing pretty good method acting, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I, like, bust out that mime outfit from that costume I had, like, two Halloweens ago or whatever. Yeah. But, like, it also had the, the horn, which was fun.
It was cool that Art the Clown came on. He was our first guest.
Yeah.
And he came in, you know, and joined us for that one.
That's if you guys missed it, you guys should listen to it. It was great.
Fantastic getting to talk to him. Like, hopefully, you know, I'll come back. So,
yeah, he offered some really good insight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we all lived to tell the tale. So.
Yeah, and it just gets more interesting as you listen to it. Just make sure you listen to
you
got to
listen
thing.
To the whole thing. Yeah, you definitely got to listen till the end. But we're not talking about that this week. This week we are talking about ley lines.
And what are ley lines? I guess we'll learn about it.
I guess we will.
I didn't know what they were before we started talking about them last week.
This is one that you've never heard of before, you're saying?
Right. I never heard of ley lines until 2 weeks ago when we did the Gettysburg podcast. Just on a tangent, we were discussing something. And
I think it was Point Pleasant.
Yeah,
and you said like the ley lines.
Ley lines, and I was like, "Well, what is that? I don't even know." And so then once you brought that up, I'm like, "Oh, wow, that could be interesting."
Mm-hmm.
And
I wish it was more interesting, but that's something that I have marginally known about, you know, for many years, but I never really took any sort of deep dive on it until when we were. For this.
So. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much the same for me. This one was, definitely lower on the hierarchy of, you know, conspiracy stuff that I was looking into and, supernatural stuff, so. But, yeah, it was good to finally give it the deep dive it deserved, and, you know, the results, I think, will speak for themselves, so.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yep. So let's get into this. So, ley lines are straight alignments drawn between historic structures, prehistoric sites, churches, crossroads, and prominent natural landmarks. Usually, they have maps of them, basically. So, the concept of them originated in early 20th century England and has since evolved into a staple of New Age, spiritual, and pseudoscientific thought, often described as invisible energy lines or earth energies that crisscross the globe and carry mystical, magnetic, psychic, or cosmic power, especially potent at the intersections, which are vortexes.
Okay.
Vortex.
But right now, it's just kind of like a concept, right? I mean, essentially.
Basically.
So that's the theory that we're talking about, is these invisible energy lines,
yes.
I guess.
That crisscross the entire globe.
Right.
So, and that's any spots that they intersect, that's where the energy is strongest. So. So who thought of this goofy shit? So there's this guy named Alfred Watkins, and he lived from 1855 to 1935, and he was a English amateur antiquarian, a photographer, and a businessman from Herefordshire.
Herefordshire.
Yes. I have no idea where in Worcestershire. Yeah. That's the county. So I have no idea where in England this is. But so it was June 30th, 1921, and he was riding near Blackwardine, and he suddenly had a quote, rush of revelations. He visualized the countryside crisscrossed by straight lines linking ancient mounds, moats, beacons, marked stones, hill forts, and other features. Like glowing wires. So apparently, yeah, like either
mystical vision.
Yeah, like
on the hill or
did
something.
He eat mushrooms?
While I was gonna say, yeah, like this sounds like peyote.
Lollygagging, yeah, in the fields.
He went through a mushroom hunt in the countryside, and this is what happened.
Was he sitting in a teepee right before this happened? That's my question. But yeah, so he interpreted these as remnants of prehistoric trade or navigation routes, which he called lays from the Anglo-Saxon for clearing or similar event elements and place names, surveyed by the Dodmen, which was his term for ancient waymakers using sighting tools. So basically like ancient map makers, like that's what he called them. So.
Okay.
He emphasized practical use, straight tracks for travel across the landscape, ignoring the terrain obstacles rather than anything supernatural. So he basically just looked at these as kind of pathways, it seems like.
So we're like, but he can't see anything. He's just theorizing these. But is there actually like pathways at some places? Like, and he's just was like theorizing if these are.
Like, I mean, there's fucking latitude and longitude lines, and yeah, like those go over the whole earth, so I mean, I don't know.
So he was like theorizing that like ancient people like knew about these lines in some way.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I don't know why that wouldn't have been recorded in history at all.
Yeah. Well, it's like, and I don't get the whole pathway thing either, because like if there's a fucking mountain in your way, there's a mountain in your way. Like you should probably just go around or something like that.
Yeah.
Or if there's like a lake, you know.
Right.
Like, yeah. What are you going to
stop
swim
and build a raft?
Yeah. You going to fucking swim, asshole? Like, just go around the. I don't know.
Yeah. Especially if it's like just a small lake. All you got to do is go up to like 50 feet off to the side. Yeah. You're like,
I must follow the path.
We must swim. Sir, there. We can go around it.
No.
It's more of a pond, really.
Yeah.
Like, it's a puddle.
I get my socks wet for this. Like, what the fuck?
All right, let me take my phone out of my pocket. So he first presented his theory in a 1921 lecture to the Woolhope Naturalist Field Club. It sounds like a crazy bunch of guys. Expanded it in the 1922 pamphlet, Early British Trackways, and fully detailed it in his 1925 book, The Old Straight Track, where he had photos, maps, and diagrams of the alignments in Herefordshire and beyond.
I would say that I would have loved to at least take a look at that book, just see, you know.
Just to see the pictures.
Because clearly this guy, I mean, he's gung-ho about this. Like, this is something that he, you know, at least believes or is trying to figure out.
He found himself an angle.
Well.
And he's just working it, because now he's got the book that he can sell to people, so.
Yeah, maybe. I wonder. I wish I would have looked on the Internet Archive to see if that's on there. I bet you it is.
I don't mean to, you know, question his integrity or anything like that. I'm just saying it's possible that somebody, once people started kind of going along with this idea, was like, okay, how can we make money off of this? So.
Yeah, the photography might not have been paying the bills.
Yep, exactly. Time for a book.
Well, it's a cool thing to theorize, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to believe that this is accurate, but, you know, I mean, it's...
Yeah. Well, we'll get there.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So he noted during this that some alignments with solar events... and suggested Christian churches were often built atop older pagan markers that were on these lines. So now he's starting to get into the supernatural stuff. Because you can't just make a whole book and be like, no, this is just about going places. So
yeah,
it's like, no. Walk through the pond. Through the pond.
Yeah.
Rule number one, walk through the pond. So, but so Watkins died in 1935. But his work inspired local, quote, lay hunters, but was largely ignored by professional archaeologists at the time. I mean, I can't really blame him for that.
I mean, what are you going to do with this?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't really...
This is literally just, like, one guy's idea. There's, like, even at this point, there is literally no evidence whatsoever to any of this. This is just this guy being like, I think there's these invisible lines that have energy and, like,
well, clearly, if there's... If he inspired people to become lay hunters, then his book must have had some substance to it.
He got some dummies to fucking buy it, that's for sure. Yeah.
Well, you know, we didn't read it, so we don't know if we would be one of those dummies.
I'd probably read it.
Right. You know, and maybe we would read it and go, hey, you know, he's sort of got a point here, you know?
Yeah, but possibly.
I don't know.
I mean, like, the intensity of him seeing this. Cal, didn't you say something about that earlier? About, like, how, like, his vision actually was or something like that?
Well, that's one of the things that I read about Watkins when he, like, came up with his whole theory was, he was, like, in the countryside and had basically, like, a mystical vision where he could just, like, see the lines, like, crisscrossing, like, out of
the countryside. So he was just, like, looking down at his shoes and, like, seeing all these lines and shit like that, basically.
From my understanding, from what I read,
Okay.
So, which is weird.
That's a little weird.
Now, then something else I read just said he basically just came up with a theory. Like, it mentioned nothing about any sort of, like...
Tripping balls in a field.
Yeah, like some head trip, like, about seeing, you know, ancient, you know, these ley lines. The ley lines,
they just make me think of, like, you walking into a room and then just a bunch of like the security,
like the Mission Impossible thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what it makes me think of. I don't know why.
I don't know. I just imagine him with like the Pepe Sylvia board, like just figuring this. Like, here's the world. And he's like,
I love that meme.
Pepe Sylvia. Pepe Sylvia. It's like, who's this Pepe Sylvia? There is no Pepe Sylvia. Oh, we got fired like 3 days ago. I just threw it back in the trash. Like, it's fine. Mail doesn't stop, dude. Mail doesn't stop. All right, so let's get into this. The evolution of it into mysticism and New Age beliefs. So this is kind of like almost hijacked by a couple of these groups.
Hijacked by the hippie.
Yeah, pretty much. So in the 1960s and 70s, the concept exploded via the Earth mysteries and the New Age movements. Writers like John Michel, who wrote The View Over Atlantis in 1969, reframed ley lines as global channels of Earth energies, linking them to Atlantis legends, sacred geometry, dowsing, and even UFO navigation aids. Ley lines became dragon lines, spirit paths, or geomagnetic currents. And this goes back to, you know, intersections of the lines were seen as, you know, power spots that they believed could do healing. They would do rituals at them. And there was also a bunch of psychic phenomena that would happen. So like all the vortexes are like, that's the superpower.
Right.
Point.
And you would think, okay, this is me just going into this, not knowing anything about ley lines at this point very much, but like you would think if people took this more seriously, if these were power spots for healing rituals, psychic phenomena, you would think you would see more hospitals built in these areas, or maybe like just anything, you know, if there is a lot of energy in these places, you feel like you would, I don't know, at least I would think that if people took this seriously, you know, or there was some truth to this. I just feel like, I mean, maybe there are things built all on this, but I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, I agree, but then like, with these ancient cultures and stuff, like, I don't, just because it was so long ago, I don't think they're dumb or anything, but like, why would that knowledge just be lost? You know, wouldn't it be like an important, you know, thing to like human existence? And then it was just forgotten.
Well, I mean, you got to think of the resets that like they say too with like ancient cultures.
Well, I was going to say, you have to remember, like, if we're going to, if off of that, like there's a docuseries called Ancient Apocalypse on Netflix, which is freaking awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay. I love it. But it kind of, explains what you're saying is you're like, how could we forget about that knowledge? Well, that kind of goes into that, you know, he's theorizing there was a whole, you know, almost another, you know, world. We're talking like, you know, more than 10,000 BC ago, okay, that may have had a very high intelligence. And then there was something that wiped everything out.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a world ending catastrophe, basically.
They called it a cataclysmic event.
Yeah. Like asteroid, flood, something, you know, like something like that.
Right. And if you watch it, they do kind of explain a good theory of what happened. And I don't know. I personally encourage you to watch it because it's so cool. And there's so much, like, you know, seeming, you know, proof behind it. At least that's what it, you know, that's what it seems to me.
It's trying.
But, so maybe that could have happened.
Okay. Like
if there was, you know, if this was known a long time ago and maybe a known thing, it could have kind of got lost.
Right. If there's only like few small tribes, right? Like, not everyone died, but enough people to where, you know, they had to repopulate the earth. Okay. All right.
That's kind of going off on a tangent there, but
no, no, you should check it out. So, I mean, it's sweet.
Yeah, check that out.
Yeah, I'll back it. Okay, so where were we on this? Oh, yeah, the ancient cultures. This is another big thing with it, because they, part of their belief was that, like, the Druids or, like, the ancient Egyptians, like, they were always big with, you know, these kind of groups and stuff like that. They basically deliberately placed monuments, like, on the vortexes to enhance the energy, stuff like that.
Like Stonehenge.
Like Stonehenge and the pyramids, that kind of shit.
Well, I 100% believe that those monuments and monoliths, I do think there is a specific reason why those are built in certain places, but I don't necessarily know if it's because of, quote, ley lines. But I do think, like I said, like in that docuseries, it talks a lot about the monoliths and things like this. And so there is definitely a lot of intelligence that went behind these monuments. Lots of intelligence.
Oh, yeah.
But there's just a mystery behind the why.
The fucking geometry with the pyramids is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Like, it is ridiculous.
In the, I recently watched the Expedition Unknown where they, he goes inside of like the Great Pyramid.
Okay. And,
God, it's so cool. But that's, I mean, sweet. It's like, how the hell do you do?
It's fucking ridiculous. Fucking aliens, man.
Oh man.
Fucking aliens, dude. Oh, yeah. I'm doing the hand thing. I know you guys can't see me, but like,
and like aliens, those pyramids were like tapped or topped with like a solid gold like triangle, like a, which has long been gone, you know.
But, yeah.
And how heavy would have that thing have been too? And it's like to get it up top.
Yeah. It's just insane. Yeah, that'd be the worst.
And the
one.
Fact that they're still standing after so goddamn long, like,
yeah, they're resilient, just sweet. But yeah, Egypt's awesome. So the Earth Mysteries and the New Age movement are two closely related but distinct 20th century cultural and spiritual phenomena. So they both emphasize the hidden patterns of the landscape, the ancient wisdom, and the personal transformation. And a re-enchanted view of the earth, but they differ in focus, tone, and methodology, basically.
Okay.
So they're extremely similar. Like, if you made, like, a Venn diagram, there'd be a lot of shit in the middle with these two. They're not that different. So, but let's start with the Earth Mysteries. So I've been reading for a second. When you guys read? whoever wants it.
So the Earth Mysteries emerged in Britain in the late 60s and early 70s as an interdisciplinary field, blending amateur archaeology, folklore, landscape studies, and alternative spirituality. It explores the mysterious aspects of ancient sites, stone circles, megaliths, mounds, sacred landscapes, and alignments, often through field work or dowsing in a phenomenological, I'm not even going to say that word. And the experience.
Phenomenological.
Read, phenomenological, okay, there yes. You go. That's a big one. That's a big experience. One. Sorry.
So more of like a blind faith, I guess, than rather academic archaeology.
Yeah, there you go.
Not the Eric Clapton super group. Ley lines. Kind of a bullshit ley lines. But so this the Earth Mysteries, it builds basically directly off of Alfred Watkins' 1920s theory of the ley lines. So the term Earth Mysteries was coined around 1970 in the journal called The Ley Hunter, which was founded by Philip Heselton, along with some other people. And Paul Screeton is an early editor. The 1962 revival of Watkins Straight Tracks Club helped spark renewed interest. So John Mitchell was widely regarded as the founding father with his 1969 book, The View Over Atlantis. Later revised as The New View Over Atlantis.
Did he just re-release the same fucking book?
Yeah,
and just, but like, it's a new like, one. This is a new one? Is it like when fucking Stallone tried to get the author of Fair Game to release it and say that he wrote it instead? Yeah. Okay, so it's kind of like that, except it's just the same guy releasing the same book.
Yeah, the balls on that guy.
I know, dude. Are
you serious? You didn't? Wow.
Oh, that's amazing.
The hell, Stallone?
It said he reframed ley lines. Is that... Oh, no. I thought he meant he changed it from the first book.
No. He just, like, elaborated on their... What they are.
Like, so, hypothesized that the lines were actually like channels, earth energies, or he called dragon currents.
Yeah. Apparently, this is the guy who like really started that shit. Okay. So,
yeah. Like, he's the one that started like it being like a conductor.
Kind
a
of.
Conduit
yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he surmised it. They were linking all together globally with sacred geometry, with the Atlantis legends and like a feng shui style dragon paths, lost ancient stone monuments used by astronomer priests, like Stonehenge.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess he was able to sell this book with his style of writing too.
Yeah. I mean, it's just putting a bunch of, crazy stuff in there, like that. I mean,
it's interesting. I mean,
it's definitely interesting.
It's something like you want to believe, because it's just cool.
It is one of those that it sounds sweet.
Definitely interesting.
Mm-hmm. It makes the planet. I mean, don't get me wrong. The planet itself is, just a ridiculous fucking notion of like what the Earth actually is. Like, think about that for a second. Like, your fucking head will explode.
Yeah, right.
Like, just how like crazy the fact that like of when you break it down, what the planet actually is. Mm-hmm. But this gives it more. Like, this gives it more. You know.
Yes.
It almost is like, it's like a boost, almost. It's like, you thought the Earth was sweet, but it's actually doing this shit
even
too.
More to
it's
it
like,
than you
that's
thought.
Fucking crazy.
Like, it's so. Basically like a, what I was thinking was like a circulatory system, like in your body, but for the entire Earth.
Yeah, for the
which
Earth.
Which is just a cool concept. But
yeah, it sounds awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The one thing I wish, and I didn't even think to kind of lead in this direction, until really kind of just now, because we're thinking of like the theoretical lines I have, these are kind of energy lines. There's a girl that I work with that's really into Reiki, and I wish I asked her about these because Reiki is all about, vibrations and energy. And I know she knows about ley lines I should have asked her because this is something that I feel like, if you do Reiki or you're a Reiki master, I feel like you would have an opinion on this.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I have to look into that. I don't even know what that is.
It's all about it's literally like healing. Anybody who does Reiki is going to be pissed at me for if I don't read it like off of Google. Let's see. It's a Japanese energy healing technique aimed at reducing stress, promoting relaxation, and balancing energy centers, which are known as chakras, to support natural healing. So practitioners use light, non-invasive touch or hold hands just above a body to channel, quote, universal life energy. It is used for relaxation and pain management. But it's really based on energies and vibrations. And I don't know.
Sounds interesting. Yeah.
I should have pulled the trigger on that book. I literally have, it's like the Reiki principle, like, in my Audible library that I haven't listened to
and
yet.
And she is like super into it. Like she is like and very involved in it. Like and so I mean I would love to learn more about it, but you know, I didn't think, you know, to ask her about ley lines.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe next episode we'll have a addendum or something like that.
So. Yeah, I'll have to remember, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So also during this time, Paul Devereaux, I'm just going to pronounce it like that because it's like French and weird. So
sounds about right.
Yeah. So he focused on rigorous investigation, and he was actually the one who founded the Dragon Project in 1977. We'll get way more into that later. But basically, he wanted to measure the potential energies, like at different stone circles and stuff like that. So he was actually trying to take like a scientific approach to try to measure some of this to see if he could prove it,
which is great.
Yeah, which is fantastic. He explored earth lights, shamanism, and mystery lines while maintaining a more skeptical, experimental approach. So I like that guy.
I always love when people go in it like that. Like you're a skeptic, but you're open-minded and want to just learn the truth rather than going in it with like an open bias.
Because you're just going to find what you're looking for
If you're that biased, 100%. Yeah. All right. So the core themes of these guys, basically like ley lines and alignments, they track evolving energy paths, sacred geometry. These guys are all about sacred geometry. Like, I didn't really look too much into that, but apparently it's part of their thing. So, and ancient knowledge, earth energies, dowsing, and subtle forces at sites like Stonehenge.
Can we explain, because I know we've said it a few times, what dowsing is?
Oh, dowsing?
Because I don't really even know what that is.
Okay. Cal?
You'll see it in, I've seen it in movies and stuff, but yeah, people are holding two, like, L-shaped sticks or rods, and you're supposedly can use these rods, they'll like point towards like the direction of like water. And some people say that they can use the dowsing rods to find ley lines too. So don't know how it works. I don't really see how it can work, but I mean, it's like proven that you can use it to find water for wells and stuff. But
you're right. Really crazy. To locate underground water, minerals, and hidden objects, or for ghost hunting.
I've used them for ghost hunting.
Turning inward or outward in the user's hands when reacting to purported energy fields. While used for centuries, scientific consensus attributes their movement to the ideomotor effect. Oh, so science is poo-pooing these.
Science is basically says you do it.
Small subconscious muscle movements rather than supernatural forces. But if you find fucking water,
there has to be something to it. Find underground like water tables for to build a well. I mean, how can you just shit on that and say it's like you know.
I mean, if it's producing results, it's producing results. Like, yeah, that's like just kind of the way it is.
Just because you don't like can't it. Explain it, that doesn't mean I don't know. There's got to be something to it.
Yeah.
You can really do
I
that.
Mean, if you're not getting anything from it, then maybe we're doing it wrong.
I was extremely unsuccessful with them, so maybe I was just doing it wrong. I don't know.
But yeah, but you used it for ghost hunting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're supposed to react to energy, I guess. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which would make sense if you use it for ghost hunting or...
Yeah. Yeah, basically. Okay, so yeah, I mean, that's a lot of what the Earth Mysteries is. So now let's get into the New Age movement. Okay. Amanda, you want to take this one?
Yeah.
Cool.
So what is the New Age movement? So the New Age movement is a broad, decentralized, spiritual and cultural phenomenon that exploded in Western societies, especially in the UK and the US in the 70s. Peaking in the 80s and continuing into the 90s. It is not a single organization or religion, but a loose network of beliefs and practices promising personal and planetary transformation. It roots back in the 19th century esotericism. Theosophy.
Sorry,
yeah,
that's a big one.
Is that, hold on.
Esotericism and theosophy. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm. So, spiritualism and expectations of the age of Aquarius. And am I just reading bullet points at this point?
This is basically just like their origins just and the like origins. How they came, came across.
All right.
So starting with, you know, going to the 60s and stuff. So
in the 60s, counterculture, is a hippie movement, human potential movement. Interest in Eastern religions, psychedelics, and figures like Carlos Castaneda. In 1970s, you had the crystallization. American theosophist David Spangler at the Feinhorn Foundation emphasized active human participation in birthing the New Age through spiritual energy and personal growth. In the 80s, 80s popularization, Shirley MacLaine's Out on a Limb, channeling.
Wait, is that the lady from the Partridge Family?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's basically, I'm pretty sure that's the movie because, okay, like New Agers, their like ultimate goal is basically to become God. Like, that's the belief, is that, like, anyone can become a god, basically. So, I'm pretty sure in that movie, if that's the one I'm thinking of, it's... We were talking about Chud earlier, but it's her and John Hurd, like, standing in a beach, just repeating, I am God, like, on the beach, like...
What?
Like, just chanting this shit. Yeah, if that's the movie I'm thinking of. Okay. There's definitely a movie with him doing this, and I'm just like... All right, yeah, Mr. McAllister needs to calm the fuck down.
It's not Sharknado.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah, no. But yeah.
Okay, so by the 90s and the 2000s, it mainstreamed into holistic health, self-help, and wellness culture. Some scholars argue the explicit, quote, New Age label declined as the ideas ultimately became normalized.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of like just took stuff that, you know, didn't take like the whole thing, but like, you know, like the whole self-help and like wellness and shit like that.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
So core beliefs, it says, monism or pantheism, which means the all is one. Everything is interconnected. Yeah. Divine energy or consciousness. God is impersonal and within us. Just like you said before, that you are God.
Yeah, basically.
Thought.
Yeah.
Age of Aquarius. A coming era of peace, love, enlightenment, and harmony, ending materialism, war, and separation, often tied to astrology.
I hate that fucking song. Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry. I just had to like pop in there really quick and just be like, that song is fucking. Yeah, that song fucking sucks. Yeah, the fifth dimension is one of the most overrated groups of the fucking 1960s. Fuck that shit.
Yeah, is that who that is? I don't even
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah. But basically, it's like I forget what fucking age we are in now, but like that's a big thing with them too. Is like us going into the age of Aquarius when everybody will get knowledge and shit like that. So that kind of thing.
Yeah. Which what was that? What it was in the '60s? It was like the age of Aquarius.
I'm well, and we weren't there yet. Yeah. Like it was like we were looking. They were waiting for it. Basically. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So that's the goal.
Yeah. I, mind you, I love '60s music, but that
song. That song is fucking terrible. I could
go without that song.
Fucking hate it.
Just annoying.
When Steve Carell starts singing it at the end of 40-Year-Old Virgin, I want to punch him in the fucking face, dude.
Yeah, I know. It's like okay, movie's over.
The fuck
movie's
up,
over at this point.
You couldn't think of a better song. Like, come on. All right, sorry, man. I'm done bitching about the fifth dimension.
Oh, no, that's okay. So we're still going on with New Age. So then it turned kind of into a personal transformation. So through meditation, visualization, affirmations, channeling, past life regression, or energy work, individuals can achieve higher consciousness, healing, and self-realization. That's pretty big. Nowadays, I feel like
I mean, there's definitely a lot of people who are like on that bandwagon of, you know, like that kind of thing. So I mean, not the whole like I'm God fucking thing, you know,
right. But
like
pieces kind of, weird, of
it have still kind of like come through.
I suppose surprising with the younger people I work with sometimes, like, you know, like I think it's kind of cool. A lot of them are like vibe based, I guess you would say, like. Like feeling like vibes and shit, and which I'm like, hey, I get behind that. That's okay. Like, you know, I mean, I'm on board.
Yeah,
you know, I've always been that way, kind of. So it's kind of cool, like that, they're just like that too. Not like I want to go hang out really with them, you know, because I'm like twice their age. But
yeah,
I just think it's cool that, you know, them, you know, doing their thing is, and you know, not far from, you know.
Right.
Where I'm at. I mean,
and their whole thing.
I don't feel like an old man as much.
Yeah, know? That's good. Yeah. That's good.
And I mean, their whole thing was kind of like a quote, personal transformation creates global transformation. So if you fix yourself, you can make the world better.
Fix everybody.
So. Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
So now we get to the next bullet point of holistic and syncretic. Borrows freely from Eastern traditions like Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, indigenous practices such as shamanism or Native American spirituality, Western occultism, and modern science. It also practices like such as yoga, crystals, Reiki, astrology, tarot, UFO contact, environmentalism, and sacred site pilgrimage. New Age is optimistic, eclectic, and consumer-oriented, emphasizing empowerment, healing, and light over dogma or sin/guilt. Mm. So that's a lot. Yeah. I do like, I can get behind a lot of that.
Oh, actually. Yeah. Oh, totally. 100%. I mean, it wouldn't still be kind of around if all the ideas were stupid.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not super into astrology. Maybe I will say, I shouldn't say I'm not into astrology. That was incorrect. I'm not into zodiac signs.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, astrology is cool, but zodiac signs are astrology fucking is cool. Stupid.
Zodiac signs, I hate when people make that their whole identity.
Those people, like, are fucking stupid.
Well, no, those are the people that just, they can be a bitch and be like, oh, well, I can be because I'm Pisces.
Yeah, I know.
Or something like, oh, well, no wonder because of this. Like, no. I don't believe that, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, just be a good person. Or don't, like, sometimes I feel like if somebody reads it in the newspaper, like, that's the law.
Oh, I got a one-star day.
One-star day.
Calling off work. I'm just staying home. This is bullshit. Now you're having a one-star day.
Now you are having a one-star day because you have manifested that. No. So, like, I was wrong. It's like, astrology, get behind it. I like it. Interesting. But
astronomy, probably.
I just don't like Zodiac signs.
Zodiac signs are dumb as shit.
I find it interesting, but I don't live my life by it.
I know, but like, I just love that like classic people that use it as an excuse to act like insufferable fucking turds.
Or
to like judge you.
Exactly.
It's I figured you for a fucking Scorpio.
It's like, you're a Taurus. Yeah.
Right. It's like, hey, don't judge me for that. You don't even know me.
Right.
But I love that that Stanhope bit about it. It's just like, okay, it's like, so you're telling me if your parents fucked a month earlier, you wouldn't be such a twat? Like, okay.
Right.
Like, get the fuck out of here, dude. Like, it doesn't make any fucking sense.
I do have this
Take book. Some responsibility for your fucking self. Like,
this,
come on.
This book, it's just kind of interesting. Sometimes I'll take it places and just to see. It's like a birthday book. So, like, you go through the thing and you go to your birthday and, like, some of it, I'm not going to say it's like always super accurate, but surprisingly, it's like, yeah, that it kind of fits the mold. But when again, like, if you're looking for it,
right?
You know, but there's stuff that's like, that's not you at all.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, some of that, like, it's just if you throw enough shit at the wall, some of it's going to stick.
Yeah.
Or like, we've lived long enough lives where if somebody says, yeah, you've had some stressful times. Oh my God, I have had stressful times. Yeah, I know,
right.
Yeah, we all have.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's, yeah, like, that's called being at alive.
You got through a challenge.
Somebody.
Oh my God, I did get through a challenge.
Somebody passed away.
You're going to find that. You're going to find it if you're looking for it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways, sorry, went off on a tangent. No, I know this says nothing about Zodiac signs, but.
No, that's fine. No, but like I said, if you base your life on it, or dictate what you're going to do that day based off of that, you're fucking stupid.
Right.
So, sorry. Not sorry.
You're not sorry
Not
at
sorry
all.
At all. Like, not even a little bit. I tried. I tried to, like, say the thing you're supposed to say, and it just, sorry.
I don't care if you believe it or not, but don't allow yourself, don't make that the reason, or what's the word I'm looking for? Don't make that your excuse for being your attitude for that day.
Nope. It's like, oh, it's not my fault.
No, yes, like, it is. It's
that,
your fault.
That's the thing with, I don't know, people are always looking to pass the buck on anything like that. Mm-hmm. Like, any excuse to absolve themselves of any responsibility.
Like, I once knew these kids who, like, killed a bunch of people, and they used the excuse, like, oh, like, Mercury was, like, blocked out, like, when I was born.
Like, you knew kids who were Jesus! Can't believe I didn't hear this
Throwback to Bloody Birthday. Yeah. Previous episode. Nice.
Jesus, this is a whole
I was like, whoa, what I is was going like, we've been hanging out for a while. Who the fuck are you talking about? I'm like,
so I knew these kids who killed a bunch of people.
Like, alright, continue.
Wow. Alright.
Weird.
Okay, this podcast just took a hard turn.
You know what? Fuck these ley lines. Let's talk about the kid murders.
This is far more interesting.
Like, I want to talk about that. Shit. All right, so let's go into the Venn diagram of the Earth Mysteries versus the New Age movement. All right, so as far as the overlaps, which were most prominent in the 70s and the 80s, so both of them celebrate the ancient sacred sites, the ley lines, and the Earth as a living conscious entity. They basically called it Gaia. So that was like the living or like the spirit of the earth, more or less.
So I don't know. I would love to look into that into Gaia more, but that's something that I could get into, you know, the thought of that.
It's possible. I don't know about conscious.
Maybe not conscious.
But like
conscious entity, I don't know. Living,
like the planet is alive.
So I would, you know, I'm always open-minded to stuff. Always open-minded to stuff. But I could, you know, I don't know, it's something I'd be interesting to look into.
They say like trees, like, I forget where I read this, but it says like trees can like feel pain.
I read that too.
Okay, yeah. Like if you're chopping them down, like they're like, ah, you motherfucker, you know.
You guys watch Fern Gully too many fucking times.
Oh my gosh. I remember.
Deep pull. Yeah, I know, right?
Slime beneath me, slime up above.
Tim Curry.
Yeah, all right. Nice. Glastonbury, Stonehenge, Sedona, Machu Picchu, and Uluru serve as pilgrimage spots and vortexes. I nailed every single fucking one of those.
Those weren't that hard.
Dude, Uluru?
Yeah, there's
too many U's.
They're literally half the word is the letter U.
Like, yeah, that more than half.
More than that.
No. Yeah, more than that. It's like
a five-letter word. Like three of them are U.
65% U's in this five-letter word.
60%.
Yes, it is 60%. God damn it. Whatever. I'm not the one doing the ancient geometry, so. So the Earth mysteries provided evidence that New Age adopted for spiritual narratives. The shared influences are counterculture, you know, the hippie shit, the environmental awareness, the rejection of mainstream materialism and organized religion. Let's see. Many practitioners move fluidly between them, like examples, dousing ley lines while doing New Age meditation at sites. Their key differences is the focus. Focus is one of them. So the Earth mysteries, it's more about basically like the landscape and the actual sites. But the New Age is more of a broader kind of like more abstract kind of thought to the whole thing. So as far as their approach, the Earth mysteries, they strive for a balance of experience and investigation. And the New Age is more like just belief, basically. Like, it's New Age is way more of a religion, basically. So whereas like the Earth mysteries, like they kind of look at, it's more about the planet itself than like a spiritual abstract idea.
Okay.
So, the tone is different with them being more into, spiritual stuff, basically. As far as their relationship to paganism, because of course everything goes back to fucking paganism. Earth mysteries overlaps heavily with the modern paganism, druid stuff. New Age is distinct, but it can also incorporate pagan elements. They focus more on universal oneness and personal growth with than like worshiping a deity or ritual reconstruction. So it goes back to their whole like oneness. I am God. We are all God. Everybody's fucking God. Don't know how that works, but whatever. But yeah, and that's basically the main difference there. So, Earth, I mean, they did, like I said, they share a lot. Like, the Venn diagram in the middle is really full. Mm-hmm. Like, it's way more full than the fucking sides are. So, Earth mysteries gave the New Age movement many of its sacred geography tools, such as the ley lines, the Earth energies, and the power spots. While the New Age popularized and globalized these ideas into a lifestyle of spiritual consumerism and transformation. So they both reflect a modern longing to reconnect with nature, mystery, and meaning in a scientific secular world. They have influenced everything from environmentalism and wellness culture to tourism at ancient sites, while facing criticism from skeptics for basically being pseudoscience, which I can't really argue against that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there has been some pushback from traditional religions. I was actually watching this really goofy, like off the wall documentary the other day where it was basically saying that the whole New Age movement is like Luciferian and shit. And it's like,
really?
It's like devil worship and shit like that. Like it was going kind of deep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm just like, peacefully doing yoga in the park.
You're the fucking devil.
With a couple crystals in my pocket.
Yep. Like, oh, dude, that's an affront to God.
That's the devil.
Yeah, dude, that's an affront to God because you're trying to do stuff with your magic crystals. Only God's supposed to do magic.
But I thought I am God.
Well, yeah, see, you're not. So that's blasphemous as well.
You're the devil.
Yeah, you're the fucking devil. Oh, my. That's what the devil would say. So...
You can't win.
Yeah.
You can't win this fucking
I could.
We're talking in circles, man.
I could debate all around the table with this. Like, we just keep on going. Oh, man. So, I don't need that. Okay, so let's get into some of these intersections, you know, the vortex sites. Let's just kind of, let's go around the horn with all these guys. Whoever wants number one, go for it.
First one we have here, Sedona, Arizona.
Actually, I'm going to stop you right here because I know that it's one of the, I've been to Sedona and they were big. I took like a tour there and they are big on saying that it is one of the strongest vortex centers in North America. Okay. And I actually bought, gosh, I've never wore it. I bought a crystal from there.
Oh.
And I have it, but that was one of the things. And I kind of just, you know, took it superficially because I didn't really understand what a vortex is. Mm. But I know that they were
just like, really they gave me a shiny rock. Cool.
No,
thanks, guys.
No, it was interesting. It was a beautiful place, but that was a huge.
So they're like leaning into it pretty good.
Yeah.
There. Nice. All right. Yeah.
Was there like a structure of like where they like converge?
There's
Do they have it marked or something?
There's beautiful like red rocks.
Okay.
They're like red, like these big cliffs there. And I think it was right around that area.
Okay.
I could be wrong. I'm trying to remember what the guy was telling us. But it was really cool. I remember that being really cool.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
We'll have to stop there if I ever go back out that way.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was really cool.
But yeah, so like Amanda was saying, that was the strongest vortex in North America where supposedly multiple ley lines converge. They're creating at least 4 primary vortexes.
It's a lot of vortexes.
Yeah, it's a lot of vortexes. And many minor ones at spots like Bell Rock, Cathedral Rock.
Yeah, at all the rocks. Like the,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Boynton Rock or Boynton Canyon and the Airport Mesa, and visitors report intense energy for spiritual awakening, meditation, and healing. And the red rock landscape, like you said, enhances the mystical reputation.
Nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of like spas there and a lot of meditation stuff.
Yeah. Like it would be probably, you know, one of those Native American like spiritual places.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They're like in tune to it.
Hmm. Amanda, take this one.
So we're still talking about the vortexes, correct?
Yeah, we're talking about different. Okay. These are like prominent spots,
right,
of vortexes.
So Glastonbury here. Tor in Glastonbury, England, often called the quote heart chakra of the earth or a major node on the St. Michael line. And intersecting Mary line. It sits on the convergence of several lines linked to Arthurian legend, the Holy Grail, and ancient pagan sites. Nearby Avebury Stone Circle and Stonehenge, which forms an equilateral triangle with Glastonbury and Avebury, are also tied in with claims of up to 14 lines meeting at Stonehenge itself.
Crazy. That's a lot.
Yeah. How do they even think that or know that?
No.
Well,
I mean, yeah, we were just talking about Stonehenge, so yeah,
yeah.
Go with Stonehenge. So, yeah, next one is Stonehenge in England. So, it's frequently described as a powerful intersection point. Believers say numerous ley lines cross here, aligning with solar and lunar events. It's part of the broader British network, including the St. Michael alignment. So apparently that's like a big group of them over in England is like the St. Michael and the Mary and stuff like that.
Okay, so that's so, like actually what the group of ley lines is called.
I think so. It's okay. Like a whole alignment that they called like the St. Michael alignment.
Okay.
I think so. There is like a St. Michael line I saw when I was looking at stuff. So yeah,
it's interesting.
Right. Next.
Okay, so then another one, the Great Pyramid in Giza, like we were talking about before.
cornerstone for many a global grid theory. It's said to sit on a major node connecting to all the other pyramids, the sacred sites, and even vile vortices. Some map it as a throat or solar plexus chakra point.
Damn.
All right. So next one would be Machu Picchu in Peru, which is in the Andes. This was an Inca citadel. It's claimed to be a convergence of ley lines, often linked to solar alignments and energy grids connecting South American sites. It's frequently paired with Lake Titicaca. Stop it.
Sorry, I'm just like, it's not even that. It's making me think of in Beavis and Butthead Do America. Like, Beavis is just like, Lick titty caca. Like, he's like doing all this shit, like, when he's all like fucked up and shit. Like, and that's why I'm laughing. So, it's amazing. Sorry. All right, go ahead.
That's okay. So, the two are frequently paired. So, the Machu Picchu and Lake Titicaca as powerful Andean node.
Nice. Nice.
Titicaca.
Nice. Nice.
Look at that guy. He's probably scored a million times.
This chick's a total slut. He's freaking out about not getting laid. Wait, why are we getting back on the bus? I gotta watch that movie again.
Search him deep.
God, I gotta watch that movie again. It was fantastic. It's so funny. All right, so the next one is Mount Shasta, California. In USA. So this is considered the root chakra of the earth and a major North American vortex. Multiple lines supposedly meet here, drawing seekers for its volcanic energy. Lumerian legends. I don't even know what the fuck that is. Like lemurs?
I actually watched some show lemurs? About this mountain, and it's
weird. Is there like mutant lemurs?
It was somebody had like a theory. There was like an ancient civilization
of lemurs.
I think that did have something to do with it.
Are you serious?
The country was called Lemuria.
Okay, so people. So it's not just lemurs. Like, you know, they got some moves on them and turned into like lemurs. You know?
Enough
like,
to really explain it that well, but it was about a lost continent or island of
Lumeria. Okay, so it was like an Atlantis, basically.
Somewhat, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So there's also reported UFO/paranormal activity.
Yeah, it showed a lot of people. Definitely like a huge new age spot for that Mount Shasta. You get like a lot of eccentric people up there, like, you know, climbing the mountain and like basically like friggin' worshiping this mountain, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. All right, next.
All right, so next one is Uluru or Ayers Rock and Katachuta?
Sure.
In Australia, is viewed as the Earth's solar plexus chakra. So it's an Aboriginal sacred site where ley lines intersect, creating a potent energy center in the desert.
Okay, nice. Oh, crikey, there's some fucking ley lines here. Fucking kangaroo jumped right through the ley lines.
Crikey. Well, you said it before, but Lake Titicaca.
How many more times are we going to say this?
You just put this in here so we can say it again.
Just right at the end, it's just like Lake Titicaca like 10 times.
Titicaca.
With no other context.
They had, so that's a high energy Andean spot. Linked to creation myths at intersections. Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Which we already said that.
Yeah.
But is that I know there's a lake up there that's like the highest lake above sea level in the world. I wonder if that's that lake.
Is it?
They say that the waters has like, you know, healing properties and, you know, all that stuff too.
Nice.
I think that's Lake Cock-a-titty.
Cock-a-titty.
Cock-a-tits.
I don't like it as much.
That's like cock-a-titty.
Yeah, it's like, it sounds like somebody duked on somebody's chest. Like, it doesn't sound good.
It's like poopy tits.
Yeah, it's like poopy tits and like another thing. I'm not German, so no, thank you.
I'm not German,
so I don't know. I don't like that kind of shit. You know, like. I'm not judging. I'm not trying to because I like, you know, sitting under glass tables. Like, you know, that's fine, whatever. Whatever you're into, I guess. Two consenting adults can do whatever the fuck they want. So. You know, that's their prerogative. So.
I'm crying. literally tears.
So some other notable the Bermuda Triangle and other vile vortices. So there's points in the Pacific near Japan's Devil's Sea, part of the Sanderson-Becker-Hagen grids. And it's, you know, all those places are associated with disappearances and magnetic anomalies. Are we still upset about the Germans? Is that what we're upset about?
When we looked at that map of all the ley lines intersecting, like, there was a crazy convergence where the Bermuda Triangle is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's like a ton of lines. It's a weird. It's almost like, does everything start from there and like just go?
Or is everything shitting on it? Like, it's all that, going to that point and concentrating these, like, everything and just, like,
powerful, like, all good these spots. Shit. And then, like, you gotta have some negative one, too, but I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose so. Yeah, maybe it wasn't, Amelia Earhart's fault. Maybe she just flew right into a bunch of ley lines and that's it. Wow. All those damn ships and stuff like that.
Then they have like those, you know, like the electronics don't work and like airplanes and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, some crazy stories. Yeah, I mean, that could be a whole episode.
Yeah, we gotta do one on that at some point. Crazy That'd stories be cool. about like,
you know, the World War II planes just like going through a time warp or some shit. You know?
Yeah.
There's lots of crazy
shit. Yeah, there's a lot of them like that. They're like talking about like their radio being fucked up and then like talking to somebody or something. Like, I don't know. Yeah, we'll have to do that at some point. All right. So, fuck all that. I'll do this last one. Yeah. So, yeah, another one, I guess, in Serpent Mound, Ohio, which actually isn't too far from us, apparently has a intersection of ley lines.
Yeah, I want to go there.
Yeah, I want to go check it out, too. So some enthusiasts link this ancient effigy mound to ley lines or energy grids, connecting it to Native American sites and even distant European points. It is not as globally prominent as Sedona, but appears in U.S. mappings alongside other mounds. Okay. Well, it made the cut. You know, it's legit.
Yeah. It also made the cut for Ancient Apocalypse.
Okay. It's in that
series. Yeah. Oh, okay. And he talks about it.
Let's see here.
Not specifically with ley lines, but just, you know, in everything else that he's talking about is really quite cool.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. All right. So the planetary grids. Somebody tell us about the planetary grids. It's basically just like a group of ley lines, you know, set up.
So planetary grids. It's, what do they call it? The Earth Star grid are based on platonic solids like the, icosahedron.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah. Nice. So these grids overlay a geometric pattern on the globe, placing many of these sites at vertices or intersections. It expands on earlier ideas linking sacred architecture worldwide and even, quote, vile vortices with unusual phenomena. So is the grid itself just all the ley lines?
Basically, yeah. Okay. It's like all the ley lines, and then it's got like all the intersections and stuff like that. And
okay.
I mean, it seems like that there's like good intersections and bad intersections.
Okay.
So like Sedona was like a good one.
Right.
But Bermuda Triangle. That's a bad one. So. Okay.
So these ideas remain popular in spiritual tourism, dowsing communities, and New Age literature, but mainstream archaeology and science attribute apparent alignments to coincidence, selection bias, or practical reasons. No measurable energy has been scientifically confirmed at these nodes. Sometimes I think, like, science, like, there's certain things that, I don't know, sometimes I think are kind of poo-pooed too quickly. But this, I mean, I understand when they're like, well, we don't have anything to back it right now, you know, but... So there are no credible scientific, archaeological, or statistical accounts that provide robust support for the theory of ley lines, particularly the energetic or mystical version popularized in the Earth Mysteries and New Age movements. The idea remains firmly in the realm of pseudoscience, with mainstream experts consistently concluding that apparent alignments result from chance, selection bias, and a high density of historic sites in places like Britain. Well, so it goes with the thing is, if you're looking for it, you're going to...
Yeah, you'll probably find it.
You'll probably find it.
Britain's not really that big of a country, and they've got castles and Stonehenge, and there's like...
There's a bunch of everywhere. Different mounds and shit all over the place. Yeah. It makes sense.
The sword and the stone.
Yeah, yeah, there's that. Try yanking it out, see if you can get it.
Become the king of England.
Yeah. It's a pretty good deal, I suppose. I'd give it a shot.
I'm taking all the jewels.
Yeah, give me all your crown jewels and I'm leaving now. I'm going to bankrupt your country and just leave. Be a terrible king. All right, so let's get back into touch on Alfred Watkins a little bit again. So Watkins, like we said, in the 1920s, presented his theory as a practical observation. Straight alignments of prehistoric mounds, stones, hill forts, churches, and landmarks as remnants of ancient trade or navigation routes. Old straight tracks, I guess he called it.
Mm-hmm.
He supported this with extensive field work and photography in Herefordshire and beyond. He made maps and had examples, basically lines along ridges or connecting mark stones, and place time etymology and folklore. So,
I mean, he put a lot of effort into this.
He did. It seems like. He earned his money.
Yeah.
So. So some local straight alignments do exist and can be intriguing. Certain Roman roads or ridgeway paths follow older routes. Archaeologists acknowledge that ancient people sometimes build in straight lines for visibility, processions, or astronomy. However, Watkins never provided archaeological proof that these were intentional long-distance tracks. Many markers on his lines are not prehistoric, and straight paths are often impractical over varied terrain, like if there's a fucking lake in the way.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Professional archaeologists at the time largely ignored or dismissed it for lacking evidence of antiquity. That's kind of a bummer. He got shut down.
Yeah.
They fucking shut his ass down. Kyle, you want to tell us about the post-1960s, the energetic and the mystical aspect?
Yeah. Touch back on that. Like a new age sort of thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so there, which we already talked about, the dragon currents and the power grids. This actually has even less support.
Oh, no.
Unfortunately, the claims rely on dowsing with the impersonal subjective experience, like, you know, the rods reacting, feelings of energy. You know, you can't really scientifically, you know, record that in any way.
Yeah.
And I mean, feel the rods, you know, you never know. It's like when you hold like a pocket watch out or something and they're like, oh, look, it's moving. Back and forth because I'm thinking it. It's like, no, well, you're
subconsciously doing something.
Your fucking hand's moving. Keep your hands still, dickhead.
I can see your hands moving. Yeah,
your hand is literally moving. You're cheating.
Yeah. So then the Dragon Project, which we mentioned earlier, this is goes in from 1977 through the 1980s. That was Paul Deriveau.
Nice.
a serious attempt to test Earth energies with instruments like magnetometers.
Magnetometers?
Magnetometers.
You're good at saying words. So what she said. And then ultrasound detectors and radiation monitors. And doing, you know, more dowsing at stone circles. What is these stone circles? But anyway, the
no
results...
human would position stones in such a manner. So if you come across it, you got to do something.
Okay.
Yeah. Pull out the rods.
Building a fire pit or something.
Building a fire pit. And then thousands of years later,
there's a bunch of assholes just praying over my fire pit for some reason. Yeah. Get out of here, you fucking hippies.
Yeah. But the results on all these devices was mostly nothing. So there's no consistent patterned energies recorded with any of these beyond just normal background variations. Occasional magnetic anomalies or slight radioactivity spikes. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, that's a little odd.
But nothing forming detectable lines or grid. So some readings were attributed to the equipment issues or just the natural changes. And no repeatable evidence emerged for any lay specific forces. So yeah, they didn't really get anything on that, unfortunately.
That is a bummer. All right, so let's talk about the statistical reality. Wow.
Okay. So we have the strongest counter evidence. All right. With thousands of ancient sites, churches, wells, and landmarks packed into a British landscape, random points inevitably form straight lines just by sheer chance. So studies show that you can draw ley lines through modern features like postcodes or old Woolworth stores with similar success. So
that's what I don't get is like, you have a map, you have two locations, you can draw a line from point to point with a ruler and anywhere.
Yep.
And anywhere in the fucking world. Like,
yes, Cal. Yes, you can.
So what is that saying? It's not like...
So what they're saying is probably they drew a line. They're probably drawing lines that go through most... You know what I mean? Like, not just from one point to one point. They're probably like, oh, these... Like, we could draw a line between these
straight,
three.
Yeah, I see.
That's
probably
how the ley lines are created.
Yeah.
Since they're theoretical, like, how else are you going to do them, right? So you're just going to take a look at a map of, I don't know.
Earth. Yep.
You know, of the...
Start drawing lines through
all
shit.
All of the places, okay?
Yep.
You know, but I don't know. If you... There's a lot of fucking old churches, too. I mean, I don't believe that everything is... If there's such thing as ley lines... I don't necessarily think that everything on the ley line was supposed to be there. Like, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of old churches. I don't know that everybody who built a church knows about ley lines, you know, or, you know, I don't know. Like I said, the other like Stonehenge, some of those like older, you know, ones that already have a little mystery behind them. You know, maybe there's something to that, but that's probably how they drew the ley lines to begin with is, not just from one point to one point, but like, of these places
multiple.
Go through this one line, right? I can draw
okay, that does
kind
of clear it up in my head, because I was wondering, like, while researching some of this, it's like,
You can draw a line from anything.
Right.
To anything. Especially if you're not concerned about, like, going over mountains and shit.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh,
absolutely.
Yep. So,
on this flat piece of paper, I can draw a line from the pyramids to Stonehenge. There's totally a line there.
Like, yeah.
You just do that.
You draw a line from the North Pole to the South Pole.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy.
Yep.
They're connected. It's hollow inside.
Ah! Oh, don't get me started.
Oh, shit. Oh, fuck.
It's a wormhole.
Yeah. We found that out when we did.
Yeah.
Yes,
hollow Earth.
We did.
Basically, this podcast could be summed up in one episode. It's
Hollow Earth.
Hollow Earth. Everything is fake.
Everything.
Nothing is real.
Who are we? Who are you?
We know nothing about anything.
I don't know.
Yeah. But it all comes from Hollow Earth.
We know that there's shit we don't know. We know that.
Shit. So, yeah, this is kind of a bummer. Statistician Simon Broadbent in 1980 simulated lay hunting and showed claimed alignments matched random distributions. That's a bummer.
And he's a statistician, so
yeah,
he probably knows his numbers.
Mm-hmm.
What is random distributions?
It means that there's no pattern to it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's like Yahtzee. Like, shake it up, throw it out there. Like, it's all random. Tom Williamson and Liz Bellamy, ley lines in question from 1983, they were part of that, demonstrated that site density makes almost any line clip multiple points. Ley hunting is a, quote, pathetic alternative to conventional archaeology.
Ouch!
Damn,
who got
dude.
Offended there?
Throwing shade. That's fantastic, though. Robert Forrest, the mathematician, and others, basically, lays do not exceed chance expectations in number or precision. So, did some calculations. It's like, it would come out the same if it was just completely randomized. So,
yeah.
That's a bummer. So, David Kendall's shape analysis on standing stones, no unusual tendency towards straight lines. So, and basically just what we were joking about, lines that are drawn on flat maps, which ignore the Earth's curvature with flexible
right.
thickness and cherry-picked sites.
Yeah.
You know, this is classic apophenia, seeing patterns where none were intended. So,
yeah.
Ouch.
Like I said, yeah. flat map, I can draw a line and just on it.
Yeah.
Like, there we go.
Right.
So other potential accounts. So pre-Watkins observations, some 19th century writers, such as Reverend Edward Duke in 1846 or Wilhelm Tut in Germany, noted alignments. I bet he was.
He had to be German.
Wilhelm Tut. Yep, I bet he was. But yeah, they did note alignments, but these were limited. Often astronomical or religious, and not a global energy grid. Yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah, the ley lines aren't getting a lot of respect here.
There's a lot of holes in these lines,
yeah.
unfortunately.
And the sad thing is even everything that I looked up to just...
It like,
wasn't
nope.
amounting to anything.
No, it's just like, not really.
Yeah, but I've looked through a lot of different like websites. I was looking through even some like books I have at home, and literally nothing really put much stock into ley lines.
Not really, dude. Okay, so yeah, as far as like global claims, there's no ancient texts, artifacts or records from any culture that describe a worldwide lay Earth energy system.
Yeah.
That's like, a really good point.
Like we like, talked about earlier.
You would think that this would be something, because I mean, like, yeah, this motherfucker was alive during the Great Depression. Like, this dude saw, like, World War I and shit. Like, this wasn't some ancient shit that somebody thought of, like, way back in the day. And there's literally no ancient culture that has any theory about a worldwide energy system like this.
Well, but it might be like if there is, they may not describe it like that. They just be like, hey, vibrations are good right here.
Even trying to make like allusions to written text, like there's really nothing. You gotta really be reaching.
You gotta find it. You gotta find it.
Well, that's what I was like talking about earlier when Amanda brought up the ancient apocalypse, you know. Mm. Maybe there was, and it was like lost, you know.
Yeah, maybe.
And when everything just went to tribes, it was like only the stupid people survived, you know.
Yeah, pretty much.
Forgot to pass it down.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Didn't even know about it, you know.
Well, no, that was the one of the things. I haven't seen that in forever, but yeah, I mean, after the cataclysmic event, they were saying that, like, you know, is it with is it the Aztecs and Montezuma or whatever, like they were talking about how these tribes would all kind of, like, their hieroglyphics and stuff would talk about a cataclysm. You know, there would be, like, some hieroglyphics. Oh, yeah. And then they were all talking about, like, you know, somebody who came and, you know, I don't want to say saved us or whoever. And they're like, well, maybe they're talking about some sort of, like, you know, higher, you know, intelligence that kind of came over and was trying to, you know, help them. And I don't know, there was a lot to it. They were looking at hieroglyphics, they're looking at,
oh yeah, there's tons of stuff.
So lots of different things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, fucking, like, big question too. It's like, you got like Egypt and like the Incas and the Mayas, like these groups who never had any contact with each other whatsoever. Why are they all building pyramids?
Right.
Yeah, it is strange.
Why are they all building pyramids?
They all have the
pyramids?
Same intel. Oh, they all have the knowledge.
Yeah.
The same knowledge.
I mean,
knowledge,
the Egyptians are definitely
it.
The best. Like, don't get me wrong. But still, like, those guys both were building pyramids. Like, why?
So far away.
Why? Like,
what?
Well, how, not yeah. why, but how, too.
Yeah, how too. As well. How? Also, how?
Like, how did they share that knowledge if they were, you know, nowhere near each other?
Like, they all of them just, like,
yeah,
like randomly thought, like, okay, this is what we're going to build.
We're going to make a structure, and yeah. I think it should, you know.
I think it should start out really big on the bottom and get really skinny as you go up. Like, I think that's good.
I know, it really makes no sense, because, I mean, they if you're going to make a monument or some kind of structure for whatever reason, it could be anything.
It could be literally anything.
Why, how does that happen?
It could be a circle. It could be a square. Yeah, it could just be, like, whatever. Like, I don't know, but, like, why are you making, like, pyramids? It doesn't make sense. Oh, man. So, let's see here. So, other anecdotal reports. So, pilgrims, meditators, or dowsers describe sensations at intersections, such as, like, the Sedona vortexes or St. Michael's line. These are subjective and, unfortunately, not verifiable. They could stem also from expectation, landscape beauty, or placebo-like effects.
Right. I mean, if you're doing that and you're dowsing, like, you want it to have that effect, so.
Oh, yeah, 100%. All right, so let's finish this up by getting into the
also
Dragon
real
project.
Quick. This has nothing to do with what we just said, but I wanted to fact check myself. So it was, I think it was.
Were you right?
Well, I was right with the Aztecs and Montezuma, but that is nowhere near the years. Like it would, like we're talking about tribes that were like thousands of years old. So that I was like in the wrong. Time period
wrong century
that. But they were looking in like you know whatever hieroglyphs and stuff, and they're thinking like that maybe there's potential that some sort of higher intelligence was the ones who kind of came and saw these, you know, tribes and stuff.
Well, I mean, that's the whole ancient aliens fucking thing, you know. Right. They like came down and did stuff and
right
yeah, you know. Like came down and like fucked them and like then like they advanced and all this shit and you know whatever they did with them, I don't know.
Right.
Oh, there's a lot of things.
I know. I feel bad. I hate talking about things that like I didn't like research back. I was like, oh shit, I can't remember this.
Time out, fact check. All right, so yeah, let's finally talk about the Dragon Project at length here. So Devereaux's conclusion, the project demonstrated that stone circles do not emit consistent, unusual physical energies in the way that early lay Earth mysteries enthusiasts had hoped. It highlighted the importance of controls, the variability of natural fields, and the risk of confirmation bias. Devereaux moved towards viewing mysterious aspects through psychology, shamanism, altered states, and spirit paths, or straight lines, as cultural ritual phenomena rather than energetic ones. So some criticisms, amateur nature, basically, because it was like he was kind of doing this, like this wasn't like a funded thing, you know, so there wasn't a whole lot of peer review to this as well.
Okay.
Some of the controls that they used were questions. Skeptics also saw it as confirming what statisticians already argued about ley lines. Patterns are perpetual. Believers sometimes cherry pick the tantalizing anomalies, basically. So if you're looking for it, you're gonna find it probably.
But yeah, look.
Yeah. So the positive impact, though, it brought scientific instruments and interdisciplinary rigor into Earth mysteries research. It influenced later work on archaeoacoustics, Earth lights, and consciousness studies. The trust still promotes educational research without endorsing New Age belief systems. So, basically, you know, broad context for this, the Dragon Project was one of the most serious attempts to give credibility to energetic ley line claims through measurement. And it largely failed to do so on the physical side. This contributed to a shift in Earth mysteries away from energies towards experiential, cultural, and landscape phenomenology. Wow. Interpretations. That's a hell of a fucking word right there.
Phenomenology.
Yes.
Reminds me of that old commercial. Phenomena.
Yeah, I remember that shit. Yeah.
I don't even remember what the fuck it was for either.
No, I remember that. I remember what you're talking about. But yeah, so that is ley lines. I'm actually kind of annoyed that ley lines got, like, out of all the crazy paranormal shit that, like, happens in the world, fucking ley lines is the one who actually gets, like, a real study put to it to try to prove it or research it or something like that.
Yeah.
And all this other stuff is just like, oh, it's a bunch of bullshit. Like, fuck
yeah.
it. And they get nothing like that. Fuck you, dude. Like,
you know, I do think that they, like, certain monuments, monoliths, and, you know, things can I feel like they're connected in some way. But maybe is it just they're connected just in alignment with the stars? Is there, I don't know that it's, the theory of ley lines is very interesting to me, but if there's nothing to base, I'm very open-minded. Like, I would love if it existed. Like, it's a cool thought, but everything that I looked up was just, I mean, there was nothing to it, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's really not nothing I saw, but I was bummed out by that, honestly, because I've known about this stuff for a long time, like, just from, you know, being a pretty big deadhead for more than half of my life. Friggin', I know that's why the Grateful Dead wanted to play at the Great Pyramids by the Sphinx. Is because Jerry Garcia and Phil Lesh were, like, really interested in these ley lines, you know? I mean, especially what we talked about earlier. It was coming out late 60s, 70s. You know, they had, you know, that's when everybody was kind of like a hip thing to, like, wonder about these Earth mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, in 1978, they went there to try to play and see if they could kind of connect to, like, you know, some of this Earth energy. And I
guess largely the shows weren't their best work, but I well, mean, maybe I like, have the
maybe it was like an evil vortex.
Yeah,
like,
I had the, like, exactly, had the CD.
It was a bad one.
They released of it. I mean, it's fine. Trust me, but like, I don't think they were happy with themselves. Or yeah. Maybe they were expecting a little bit more because of like such a spiritual spot.
Yeah, just listen to Europe 72 instead. Is that sure?
Hey, don't be discouraged to listen to the Egypt shows. They're fine.
They're not bad. All right.
But what was I good? I do think, like you were saying, like these spots like that are put there for some reason, you know?
Yeah, I definitely think that. Yeah. But I just think that our brain, we don't have the mental capacity to fully understand how this earth is run. Or even just, there is so much that we don't know, but I don't know that, I think that it goes far beyond the theory of ley lines, like no doubt.
Yeah, it was like some guy's attempt to try to explain some of the, like, just mysteries of
and I give him credit.
Ancient stuff. It's cool.
Yeah.
Because, that's what I was getting at. Like, I've known about these and like for quite some time, but I never really looked as deep into it as I did for this, and it was disappointing to come and like not have anything to back up any of this.
And that's what happens when we don't actually have answers, because you know the government and the world, they hide a bunch of shit from you. Mm. And also there's just a lot of stuff we don't know, so therefore when you don't know things, you attempt to figure them out, so you're bound to have some theories that just don't cut it. Or maybe we'll find that ley lines are like kind of true, kind of not. You know, it might not be. We might end up finding out that it's not really ley lines, but there are certain energy.
Yeah, like
things. Energy's a thing, vibration's a thing. Whether they're in lines, I don't know. But, you know, I do think the world, I mean, obviously, everything is energy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, some theories, you try to figure things out and they just don't come to fruition.
Yeah, like he might have been onto something, but maybe not. He took it in a different direction or something, you know?
I can get behind that.
Like, yeah.
You know, he might be sort of on the right track, but then no.
He verged off, went off the cliff, is driving along. He had to throw it in there somehow.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, there wasn't any driving in this episode. But I mean, yeah, guys, they unfortunately they can't all be winners. So
yeah,
that's the way it is. But that's those are ley lines. I want to thank everybody for hanging out with us tonight.
If anybody has anything,
cool
story, if there's something like a smoking back this gun, up or something,
yeah, if there's like a smoking gun that I missed, please let us know.
Yes,
yeah.
Because that I missed it too.
Yeah,
like we were all looking for it.
I tried looking at a lot of stuff, but like, yeah, if there's some kind of smoking gun out there that I missed, please let us know down below.
Right,
but. But yes, so like I said, once again, thank you for coming back after last week. And on behalf of Lopotomized, I'm Kevin.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Amanda.
Peace out.
Peace.